MLM Nation, episode 640.
Welcome to MLM Nation, a podcast of leaders, by leaders, for leaders, hosted by Simon Chan. He's built a team of over 200,000 and is now a full-time MLM coach and trainer. So if you're ready to level up your business, join us now. Let's do this.
If you love this show, you're going to love my daily pep talk. It's free for everyone. It's a quick 2-3 minute motivation every single day at 8:25 a.m. to get you going. You can catch it live. You can catch it recorded on my Instagram channel or on my Simon Chan. It's free for everyone. Hey, I'm here to motivate you and pump you up. And I look forward to seeing you on my daily pep talk. MLM Nation, this is Simon Chan. I'm fired up to bring our special guest today, Kat Aragon. Hey, Kat, are you ready to make it happen?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Kat Aragon began her career in the makeup and hair industry when her father offered her to manage the family salon. She eventually freelanced for many years and also worked for different companies, including being the senior hair and makeup artist at a major global news network until she encountered network marketing. Today, Kat is one of the top income earners in her company and has a team of over 20,000 people. She was recently inducted into GoPro's Network Marketing Million Dollar Hall of Fame. But one of the things Kat is most proud of is being the co-founder and co-chair of her company's foundation. That's their way of giving back, called A Brighter Future, where they focus on giving back to the community by fostering female leadership and financial well-being. So Kat, welcome to the show. Take us back to how did you get started from working all those jobs, hair and makeup, into what you're doing right now?
Well, you know, it's funny because I still remember to this day that I had a called her like my co-senior artist where I was working, and she was pretty much running the show and I had the title, you know. So she came in one day and she goes, "Kat, we're going to be rich." Like, it was just this thing. And I'm like, "Okay, what are you up to now? What's the deal?" And she goes, "My cousin works at this one company. It's a network marketing company. It's not the one that I'm with today." But she goes, "You know, my cousin works at this one network marketing company. She makes like $50,000 a month." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding, like a year, right?" And she goes, "No, a month." And she's like, "We can do this." And it was just a matter of my friend coming in with all this passion and all this, like, "We're going to go get this," and all this drive, that I was like, "Okay, I'm in with you." Like, I don't even think I knew what it was, what we were going to be selling. I didn't know any of that stuff. I had not done any research. I was just the kind of like, "There's an opportunity. Let's go for it." And you know, to tell you the truth, I was in a space where I was also very open to hearing different opportunities, because at this point I was working, I went from working a freelance job where I could pick and choose my hours to working a corporate job, which meant I was on call all the time, especially as a senior artist there. So, you know, you start to think of other ways of being in life and other things that can happen, you know, like, gosh, what would it be like to make $50,000 a month? How is that even, you know, possible? So sometimes in my life, what I realized is the best things I've hopped into are the things where I said yes before even thinking about it. So that's how I found out about network marketing. Now, I kind of shelved that after we tried it for a few months, and I don't know, never really like, didn't really get into the product and what I was doing so much. Shelved that idea. But then another company came up that was more in line with what I do in the makeup industry, and I was all in.
You weren't that into it the first time. Why not?
I think the products and myself, we did not align. I was really trying, it was more healthcare. And I think that I was really trying to make a whole thing about inner and outer beauty, which I know works really great for people. But me authentically at the time, I was not concerned about my health, you know, and it just never felt authentic. I felt like I was talking about something that I didn't really have experience with. Not, I don't want to say in a good way. I just didn't have any positive experience that I could see yet. And so I don't think I was able to really relay that message that I believed in the line. So, you know, I really understood from that point, I needed to really believe in a brand before representing it.
But you didn't give up on network marketing. You still like the concept.
I love the concept. I absolutely did. In fact, I actually owned, my dad reminds me of this all the time because we talk about how I started at the family salon. I actually owned my own makeup line before any of this. And I remember my dad saying, "Hey, you know what would be really great is if we can like go into family, you know, family houses in their living rooms and you would do a class and then maybe you could do like referral." He was basically describing network marketing without realizing it. And I remember back then when I had my own line, I'm like, "Dad, I couldn't do that. One, I don't have any clout. Nobody knows who I am. I'm just starting as a makeup artist. Like, why would anybody purchase that for me?" And I go back to that day. And I'm like, man, like that is literally what I do now. So it was so interesting that it's always been like a seed there. I just had to find the right place, you know?
So who introduced you and how did you come across your current company right now?
So I actually, because I was a pro, there is a pro vendor who started this company. So I had already been in the circle of teaching workshops while they were sponsors. In fact, the way that I found it was their catalog came in the mail from an order I was making for the news network. And so I actually put it to the side. I said, there's no possible way out. I think I just dismissed it right away because I didn't realize what they were doing. I thought that they had done what I did. So there's, you know, a thing called private labeling your line. You slap your name on it, put a sticker on it. And I thought that's literally what the company did. I was like, oh, good for them. They're doing the same thing I did years ago. It didn't really work out for me, right? And when I sat down to read it one day, I go, oh my gosh, this is them taking like actual pro products that I use in my kit and aligning with those brands and coming under one name. And when I realized that it was products I was already authentically using and that I would suggest, now I could suggest to my customers to actually make money from it, my recommendation, I was like, okay, I need to call them. So I actually called them. Nobody came to me about it. I was like, how do I get involved in this?
Pretty cool. So you kind of recruited yourself.
I recruited myself. You know, this is actually a really good story. I should share this though. I find it so funny how we are so stuck in one mindset in our business. I actually recruited myself at first to become part of corporate. I did not imagine myself being a network marketer. I was like, I can help corporate bridge the gap between pro makeup artists and those who want to work from home. But like, I couldn't imagine myself as that network marketer. And I just think that's so funny looking back that, you know, I was in a place where I was looking for any opportunity to step out of my full-time job. It was very stressful. It is network news, you know, 24/7. And so my dream job was to create another employee like job where I was an employee working for another corporation while I was trying to get out of corporation. So it wasn't until they didn't answer me. They literally had no, there were maybe three people in the whole company. They had no opportunity for me. And me just sitting there made me realize I am wasting my time waiting for somebody else to validate how much I'm worth and if I'm worth paying as an employee, or I could just be signing up and doing this and showing them what my worth is. And that's really how I got into it. And to this day, me and the CEO, we laugh. She's like, wouldn't that be funny if you're still working for corporate? She's like, you make like five times what I do. You know, so I'm like, good point. So I love that I have that story to be like, yeah, I get it. Like, we want to fit into the traditional jobs when really the answer, you know, for us and for many is in network marketing.
So how did you do the first couple of weeks after you got in?
The first couple of weeks, honestly, I don't think I did. Well, no, that's not true. So there was an option back then where there was just a virtual, like you get a link and everything. I'll tell you, I did nothing in the 4 months that I had that virtual link. I didn't have any product. I guess I thought I could just talk about it and it'd be great. It wasn't until at that time, they were so new. I invested in a whole kit. It was like $700. Now that kit is like 100 something. But I was like $700. I did not have that money. That's what took me 4 months to figure out if I wanted to do this or not. And like I said, I had opportunities just like zipping by. Customers asking me what I use on them. You know, and I'm like sending them off to department stores. And I'm sending them off to, makeup stores and stuff. And I just saw all that money going away from not jumping on this. That I finally talked to my husband. I'm like, we've just got to figure out how to make this work and invest in the kit. With that being said, like I said, the virtual kit, I did nothing with it. As soon as I got the other kit and before I even said yes and spent the money on the bigger kit, I actually ended up asking my network who would want to do an event. Who wants to do a makeup workshop? It was when I started getting yes, I want to do that. Absolutely. Then I ordered the kit. So I ordered the kit based on my feedback on if anybody wanted to learn something.
So in your journey, how long have you been in network marketing now?
6 years now.
6 years. What was the turning point? Where things really started taking off? Like an aha moment or something you got it and you're like, wow.
Definitely an aha moment. I was still doing good. Don't get me wrong. I was an executive ranked at my company. The aha moment came when, I was just talking about this today actually. I was doing a presentation at one of our conferences. And for some reason, the CEO came up to me afterwards. She took my hands and she goes, Kat, I know that money does not matter to you. Like I just got off of a presentation that was very yellow, very giving back, very service leader, service oriented. And she goes, Kat, I know money doesn't matter to you. She's like, but in order to be able to help people in the way that you want, you're going to have to allow some money to come in. And she was like, that's how you're going to like really be open to it. Because up until that point, she knew that I was very much money is the root of all evil. Yeah. That I'm, you know, like I'm not meant to have that. It's going to change me and the person who I am. Like I held on to that belief that I was going to be the person I didn't want to be when I had money come my way. And her saying it and putting it in that way, I go, oh my gosh, I am absolutely holding myself back by limiting that belief. And the minute I just like dropped that, everything turned around in my business. And it wasn't a thing like all of a sudden I was chasing money. It's just that it wasn't like me blocking it, you know, from coming in.
So how do you do that when you have like a mental block like that? How do you, because it doesn't happen overnight, right? What did you do to change those beliefs?
Well, I mean, really, for me, that was kind of the overnight thing. It really was just an aha moment of, I guess I never looked at it that way. My husband to this day, he always tells me, he's like, you know, that was me. I was the one putting that, you know, in your head this whole time. Like, we're not meant to be rich. We're not meant to have money, you know? And I was like, yeah, he could take some of that credit, but I believed it too, you know? So it really was it. I just needed to hear it in a different way. I think sometimes we forget, we don't know things until we know things. And for her to say that to me was the biggest shift in my business.
Yeah.
Now I could work it. Now I could, you know, now I didn't feel so guilty if I needed to make sure that I was showing up for my team just a little bit more, you know, because I knew there was an impact outside of myself that I could make.
That's why surrounding yourself with different people is so important, right? If you didn't go to that event, you didn't speak, and she never told you that, you may not even never realized what was holding you back.
I learned something from somebody every single day. Like, it doesn't matter if somebody just joined my team yesterday or whatever. I am so open to learning and always open to feedback and hearing so that I could see things in different ways because of moments like that in my life.
All right, then I have to ask you this question. What did you learn today?
What did I learn today? Oh my gosh, I was doing so much talking that I learned that sometimes you can talk too much and that you don't actually learn anything because you're out there talking too much.
Right, that's a big lesson. That's a big lesson for a lot of leaders because they're always training, giving, or recruiting. Gosh. They don't have the time to reflect.
It's so true. It's so true.
That
was my lesson today.
I don't even know
what I learned because I didn't have space for it.
And I think often those lessons are more important than whatever you read in the book because like the reflection or realizing, hey, I should have been speaking, training, doing these live videos and all that. And like, I didn't even have the time to really think about. I didn't invest in myself. I didn't really grow that much. But anyway, it's still early tonight. So you still got a couple hours left. So.
Yes, exactly.
Still and you learned something today just from talking to me.
Exactly.
Hey, this is my favorite question. What was your worst moment in network marketing to the point you're like, you maybe had regrets, like, why did I do this?
I don't know if it was my worst moment or like a big phase in my life. I think there was a big phase in my leadership where I really just bent over backwards for every single person to the point where it was detrimental to my health, my mindset, to everything. It's almost like I became a doormat and I felt like, you know, I needed to walk on eggshells around people. That actually ended up being a really great lesson because I learned that, you know, the world does not fall apart if you stand up for yourself, or the world does not fall apart if you don't allow somebody, you know, to cross boundaries and stuff. But I think that lasted a good at least year or so, you know, of always trying to please my team, being so scared of what could happen if I ruffled feathers, you know, and it just got me to a place where I always joke that my I was going to write a book that says like how network marketing got me closer to God. Every time that happened, I would just like go to the Bible and be like, oh my gosh, what devotional do you have for me today? Like I was always like looking for something outside of myself to spiritually lift myself out of this place where I just felt so down based off of somebody else's opinion of me. And that was the hardest. Once I started to learn personal development and mindset, how all of that is just, you know, is just chatter and noise to keep me down. That's when I realized I'm like, okay, I need to push past this. But yeah, so it's not like one thing, but it was definitely a cycle that I was going through and allowing people to do.
So you like will feel burnt out helping people, and then you realize deep down you really didn't do what.
Well, it wasn't even so much helping people. It was more like, do you ever have a situation? I'm sure people who are listening could understand, but it's more like as a leader or even as somebody on a team where you're almost bullied in a way, like you're you know,
yeah,
in a place where you're bending over backwards to help somebody because they're a top producer or something like that. I feel like that was a lower point in my life, but I did learn so much from that, you know, after that phase. I was like, wow, that didn't kill me. We're good. you know, and I could be stronger of a leader for it. And honestly, just head it off before it goes down this whole road again.
Yeah.
You know, I can put my sides and then be like, all right, we're not going there. Let's have this conversation versus allowing me to just go down this path I don't want to go down again.
So you're very successful now. You're in the Million Dollar Hall of Fame. Like, what motivates someone like you to keep going?
Now it's all about trying to get other people to have the same successes. I have an amazing organization. I have top leaders. I have people who just joined yesterday. Obviously, that's just how network marketing works, right? But I don't lay my successes on what my top leaders are doing. I'm there to support them. I'm there to help them if they need me. They know I'm a phone call away. They know I'll show up at the events or do whatever trainings they need for me if they want to collaborate with something. But my, like, and I shouldn't say I base my value or self-worth on this, but I really don't feel I'm doing what I need to be doing as a leader until those brand new people are rising in ranks or hitting their goals or the people who for some reason can't get to that next rank. Like, what can I do to tap into what's going to get them breaking through their own mindset? Or is there a system that I have missing? Like, that's what I wake up to do every single day, is figuring out how I can get everybody to get to those goals that they signed up for, you know, in the first place.
Very good. Hey, how important is consistency to success?
Oh my goodness, it's so important. And I have to remind myself of this all the time. I'm going to admit right now, it's actually why I ended up getting into other self-development courses outside of my company, because we do a lot of that within my company. But you can get to a place, especially as a top leader, of complacency. And I found myself there, and I found myself coasting, and I found myself using excuses. Like, you know how I just told you that I want to concentrate on my team. That's great. But guess what? You can also lose yourself while you're concentrating all on your team. So what ended up happening was I was coasting, and then, you know, my business, like my enrolling stopped a little bit, and my sales were starting to drop, and my rank didn't go away because our organization is huge. But then I started to get disconnected from, like, oh my gosh, am I, like, that imposter syndrome? Am I really worthy of what I'm making or what my rank is if I'm not on those top enrollment lists? Like, you just start getting really messed up. And consistency is a thing that when I started to say, you know what, I need to shed this. I don't know what's going on, but I just need to show up in a different way. I need to show up like I did at the very beginning. My business started to rise again. And now I feel like steady and firm in my role here, you know, and for other people. And on top of that, it's inspiring to other people, especially brand new people. Like, you know, they don't want to just follow somebody who's coasting or maybe coasting every once in a while.
What's your daily routine like?
Well, you want me to say what I want to say, but it hasn't happened in the past week. It's supposed to look like, and
what did it look like? Actually, it really look like? Because I think people need to know that. You know, like, leaders are not superhumans. We fall off, right? But you get back on track, right?
But here's the thing. I know better, because when I do better, I am, like, completely awesome. So my main thing that I'm talking about is checking that dang phone as soon as I wake up. I used to not do that. I used to be so good. Remember I told you about, like, my book title and everything? It was, like, devotional. If I was going to pick up my phone, I was going to be right in something spiritual. That was going to set me up for my day, and my mindset was going to be amazing. And so I was responding and not reacting to everything. And that is the biggest thing that helped me through so much during that time. But when you don't feel like there's something attacking you right at the moment, you can get back into the place of, like, let me just check what's going on. I'm good. I'm strong. And then the minute something hits you, you're like, oh, you know, you've got to get back into that, waste valuable time trying to get there. So that is what I was meaning by, like, I have to not be on my phone right away. I have to not be on social media. I cannot be checking the news or anything like that. I've got to get myself centered. I don't know. I've been trying more actually lately to do exercise first thing in the morning. So sometimes my team doesn't see me till like 10 something in the morning. And I used to have guilt over not being on right at 8 or 9 o'clock with them. You know, they won't see me, but that's my way of being in a good space. So when I actually do get to work, I can help, you know, move things along versus react to everything.
Yeah. I think we've all been through that. When you, like, when you pick up the phone, you're feeling good, you're doing good, and then God humbles you.
Right? Absolutely.
And the worst time, when you're least expecting it.
Right. Always.
If you want something new and different, go check out this group, Purpose Driven Networkers. It's the only group where you get to prospect with myself and other top leaders at least 15 times a week. You also get accountability. And if you're stuck and not sure how to reply back to prospects, then you get to send me screenshots of your conversations and I'll guide you on what to say. You also get access to over 180 different trainings that should teach you everything from building your business on Instagram to prospecting LinkedIn to even more traditional methods of building, such as doing home meetings or coffee shop meetings. It also has a 5-step program that help you get your next customer or rep within 28 days. And most people get a lot quicker than that. No other group in network marketing can give you this type of training, coaching, and accountability combined. So if you're ready to take your business to the next level, go check it out at PurposeDrivenNetworkers.com. Again, that's www.PurposeDrivenNetworkers.com. Hey, thank you so much for sharing. As we go towards the end of the show, some quick questions to pick your brain, okay? And these can be quick one-liners. The first one is, what is one of your favorite success quotes that motivates you?
My favorite success quotes. I love that if it doesn't involve me, it doesn't involve me. That's one of my favorites. I don't even know. I think that's anonymous or something. I've been looking for the author of that one. But if it doesn't involve me, it doesn't involve me is a huge one. Some of them honestly are just quotes that I've done because I couldn't find something that really, you know, was exactly like it. But, and I'm sure the theory is out there and stuff, but you know, it takes selfishness. Sometimes it takes selfishness to get into network marketing, but it takes selflessness to succeed is one thing that I say a lot because I see people get stuck all the time. And it's because they're all about like, what am I getting? What am I getting? What am I getting? You know, so I know that's not a new concept, but that's just kind of the way I put it.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. What is one habit that's helped you become successful?
One habit. Habit. Like I do. Well, that's a good question. That's a habit. I guess I don't look at my things as habits. So maybe that's what's throwing me off about them. I just look at them as ideas. Maybe just springboarding ideas. And
don't look at your phone. Don't look at your phone the first thing in the morning.
Well, that for sure. And the exercise and the health. That's all new in the past year. Here's the thing. I would not have even done that network marketing Hall of Fame thing, you know, based on the statement that I said before that money's the root of all evil. I didn't want people knowing what I was making. I still don't, you know, I still don't like to make that my platform. I still don't like all that other stuff. And that's actually why I allowed myself to do it one time, but I would not have gotten there to that place of being like, let me just show up for this thing. Okay, I say I got the award and that's just on the top shelf now and I don't have to talk about it again, you know, like that way the curiosity is gone. Look at what you can do. Look at how you can inspire other people by what you can do in your business. But that wouldn't have happened, honestly, if I didn't get centered with myself, if I didn't start paying attention to my health and I didn't start reaching outside of my circle. Because I think, like you said earlier, we really get stuck in our circle of people and we don't realize we're not growing. We're just spinning.
Yeah.
So getting outside of that, searching for other mentors, searching for other coaches and investing in myself. So that's why I'm saying it's like hard to say that they're habits, but maybe they are, you know, but those are the kind of things I actively do.
Yeah, those are definitely habits. You know, getting outside your circle, getting a different perspective of things. What's the best piece of advice you ever received, Kat?
Aside from the money thing, you want to know the biggest thing that has helped me in my career, that was another mindset shift, was when one of my coaches, he is a life coach, make worlds combined, and he told me that I was being too scarce about something one time. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. Listen, I came from a makeup artist background. We had to compete for jobs amongst our own friends in one area. Like we had to be the best of the best. If you brought on an assistant, that person might be called for your job next time. So it was all about scarcity in the makeup industry. I never even understood that was a thing until it got pointed out to me one time. And he said, listen, if you act like this is the only person who's going to sign up with you ever and you're losing that person, he goes, you're not going to have people coming your way. You're blocking your blessings. And when he said that, you started talking about abundance and what that does. And he was like, you've got to believe that who is for you is meant to be for you and they will find you, you know? And when I started to operate in that way of not holding on to every loss, but instead going, it's going to come back around. You know, if it didn't work out the way it was supposed to, it's going to come back around again. That opened up my business just as much as the money mindset did.
What's your favorite prospecting tool you use? Do you use a sample? Do you send them a video first? What do you like to use?
We actually do a weekly Zoom that I love. I think it's a really great way to bring our teams together along with customers, and they get to see how we are together. So they can actually envision themselves, because they've already spent an hour with us every single week. They envision themselves within the community. They see the value that we bring to the Zooms. It's always educational. They have fun. They could possibly win something. And they're invited back every single week, and we never pressure them to buy anything. It's not a big sales thing. It's just adding value every single week and having them unwind with us at the end of the week. And that has been the biggest thing and change for our team, is that people already see themselves with it. The only difference that I always say is that, you know, as what we're doing here and what you're doing on the other side as our guest, is that we bought a kit, you know, Now you get to come on and invite your friends next time if you decide to sign on. So I feel like that has been the thing that has, in leadership, an hour and a half every single week, but it's like, I know I checked off a really big box to bring the team together. We're all working together to grow, and people look forward to it. And then I have something for new people to plug into also.
What's your favorite, aside from Facebook or Instagram, what's your favorite app on your phone?
Oh my goodness. I would say besides Facebook, I mean, you mean like TikTok or anything like that?
I guess, yeah, TikTok will qualify.
I'd like to say it's my favorite, but I'm really trying to get more into that. Right now, I'm loving Clubhouse, but I'm also very skeptical of Clubhouse, because I am somebody who doesn't want to spend too much time in one place. Right. And I don't want to disappear. So that is a place that I like to go to learn. So you said, like, I still have some time tonight. I might go on there and learn something. But what I get worried about is me getting wrapped up too much again in training and talking and stuff, that it's actually pulling me away from my business. So I'm trying to find a nice balance there. But right now, I really do like that app.
What's two or three books you could recommend?
Oh my gosh. The Three Laws of Performance. I can't tell you the author, completely forgot. But The Three Laws of Performance changed my life. That's something that I was introduced to through my company. The Be Humble, Hungry. Oh my gosh, what is it? From Brad Lumenick. Hungry, Hustle, and Humble or something. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to get you the actual name.
No, I'll get it. I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay. And let me think. Like, Positive Intelligence is another one by Shahrzad. He was somebody who spoke at our event, but that was all talking all about what your saboteurs do and how you've got like this internal judge and how you could be a hyperachiever, or, you know, it really just points out all these things that want to sabotage you on a regular basis. And that was such an eye opener in reading that as well. So those are three things I like.
And here's the last question, the $1 million question. You ready?
Yep.
So imagine you had to start all over again and you knew no one. So you didn't know your husband, didn't know your kids, your contact list was zero, but you had all your current knowledge, skills, and wisdom. What's the first thing you do, or the first place you go, to build a network marketing business from scratch?
I would actually go to my family, but not in the way that you would think.
But you have no family. You have zero.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. You don't know anyone.
Me on a deserted island kind of thing?
Yeah, you went to like another universe and they spoke English.
Oh,
so you didn't know anyone?
I didn't know anybody.
No. Nope.
Okay. Well, my thing is I would have to find people that have the same passions and the same hobbies. Like that, regardless of what product I have, I've got to be able to relate and even more so help somebody through my experiences that I've had. That's a big part of my marketing and how I help others and train others in their business, is that it's not even so much about how they could sell something. It's like, what are your past struggles that you've gone through? What's the advice that you go to more for, or that people go to you for? What's the passion, or what's the hobbies? What's your professional experience? All that stuff. Find the people that are within that area and figure out how you can be of value to that network. And that's the first thing that I would do, because when you're of value to that network, then they do become friends. And when they do become friends, then you can actually not ask them to join you, not ask them to buy from you. But then you can actually tell them, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to run this based off of my experience. I'm trying to run this business to serve others. What is something that, you know, like, do you know people that this may be able to help? So really it's just tapping into who I am and what my experience is, and then finding advocates that could help me through that.
So what are some of your passion and hobbies? What do you like to do?
So other than the makeup, other than hair, I love to play tennis. That's something that I just started to pick up, and I didn't know I was athletic. I've never been athletic, but I'm loving that. My husband actually brought me into that. Photo shoots, it's a lot of fun. My husband does that too. I started doing some styling and some other things too that I didn't expect. And I also love starting businesses. Like, that's a huge thing for me. I'm actually in the middle of working with my daughter right now and in getting her entrepreneurial roots grounded, because, and I, it wasn't until I talked to my dad the other day that he's like, oh my gosh, just like I did for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you did do that for me. That's so weird. I was actually thinking like, oh, he's going to be weirded out that I'm going to be helping my daughter instead of her going to college and getting her into entrepreneurial stuff. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened. I'm like, you're right. So I'm just kind of repeating the process. So that's a passion of mine, building businesses, you know, in and outside the network marketing.
Cool. Hey, as we wrap up, do you have any last words or advice? And then what's the best way listeners can connect with you?
Sure. You can connect with me on Instagram. It's at Kat Aragon, K-A-T-A-R-A-G-O-N. You know, and my biggest advice is always just making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are looking to level you up. I just say that 90% of my job is not even teaching about product or makeup or skincare. It's about undoing all of the things the outside world is trying to do to hold us down. So finding those people, finding those quotes and those inspirational coaches and messages, like, that's going to get you so much further than just allowing yourself to stay exactly where you are. Just lean into it. And honestly, like, my biggest tip to success is you've got to have a belief and a vision so big that you will not worry about what anybody else says. You're just going to thank them for their advice if it's anything opposite of yours. And you're going to be like, I hope to one day inspire you to see it a different way.
That's an awesome way to put it. Thank you. Hey, ML Nation, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And today you may hang out with Kat Aragon. So keep up the momentum and go to mlnation.com and click on the podcast tab at the top. And the show notes and all the nuggets of wisdom that Kat shared will be right there. In order to be successful in life and business and network marketing, you must help others. So Kat, thanks again for sharing your valuable time with ML Nation. We're grateful to you, and we appreciate you for having a positive impact on millions of distributors worldwide. Thank you so much again, and God bless you.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, ML Nation, do you ever struggle with consistency or worried about what are you saying the wrong thing, what to say back to your prospects? Well, now you don't have to worry. Go check it out, BYOB. This is when you and I, we go together on Zoom, and I'll guide you word for word on what to say, and I guarantee you can get at least one interested prospect for your business, service, or products by the end of the session. It's a ton of fun. Go check it out at mlnation.com/BYOB. Hey, ML Nation, Simon Chan, and great show from Kat Aragon. Thanks for listening. Make sure you head over to mlnation.com, click on the podcast tab, and all the show notes and the nuggets of wisdom will be there. A lot of great nuggets on here. Talk about, you know, first of all, how Kat got started. She was open-minded. She was at a job where she was working a lot and, like I said, open to different things, right? When she was freelancing, maybe she wouldn't have done it, but when she was working those long hours, she's open to it, right? And she got started. Another moment, her aha moment, was she realized she was putting herself last, right? And I think that was really, I like the show because she was very open and vulnerable, sharing about she's putting herself, and it was her CEO had to tell her that she was getting in her own way. And that's the thing we always have to ask ourselves, right? What are my beliefs? How am I like that's getting my own way? And, you know, for her, it's also about a scarcity mindset. And that comes from her programming. She came from an industry where, you know, makeup, if you had an assistant, one day that person would take your job. So let me ask you this. What are some limiting beliefs that are holding you back? And what, you know, Kat brought up a good, you know, she talked about habits. She didn't have a good habit, but she has tons of good habits. Is putting herself outside of people, not in her company. It always exposed to new ideas and new people, because when you're around the same people, you start thinking the same. You think that this is the right way to think, and then you start hanging with different people. You're like, oh my goodness, this is a totally different wrong way to think, right? Like, she had to say no to some people, and that was okay. She had to realize, hey, there's abundance. If a prospect doesn't sign up, then it's okay. There's tons of people out there. And none of that would have happened if she didn't put herself out there, step outside of her comfort zone, and connect with other people. She talked about morning routines, and I love the honesty, what her routine is like, how she got off track. And I think if you listen to this, or top leaders, we're human, we get off track, but it's how quickly you can bounce back that matters. Talk about habits, advice, really good nuggets. And I think the million-dollar question, I love that. You know, people ask this all the time. How do I build a following? People don't listen to my videos, watch my videos. You know, be someone, right? If you want to meet, if you don't have many contacts, go out there, meet people with similar passion, hobbies online, and go out to connect and be a person of value. Give value to that network. Give. When you give that value to people, then people trust you and listen and be curious about what you're doing. Okay, that's how you build a network. The last thing is your vision and belief got to be so big. And I love what she how ended this show. Even if those don't get it, just use them to motivate yourself. So one, because one day you inspire them with your future, inspire them with your journey. Hey, thanks for listening. Great show from Kat Aragon. Make sure you connect with her. Thank you for the show. And I love it. It was really real. It was really, really, really cool. Thank you for listening. And by the way, hit the subscribe button. Leave us a review. Means a lot to me. I read those reviews. Now it's over to you. Make sure you apply what you learned. And remember, we're in the profession to help others. Go out there and have a positive impact on someone's life today. God bless you all.